This is the Porter Pickups Tonecast, episode number 3. And today we'll be joined by Tommy Platt, owner of Sublime Guitar Company, to talk about his company, some of the great projects we've been working on with him, as well as exciting opportunities in the future. All right, welcome to the Porter Pickups Tonecast. I'm Brian, and joined as usual by Derek here in the studio today.
Hey, everybody. It's good to be here. Thanks, everybody, so much for listening. If you'd like to subscribe to our show, you can search Porter Pickups on the iTunes Store. The show is also available at porterpickups.com. Just head over to the podcast page and listen there, as well as ask any questions that you might have for us to discuss on the show. So today, we have our first ever interview with Tommy Platt from Sublime Guitar Company. We're going to have a great time. We have several Sublime guitars in the shop that we absolutely love, and we thought we'd bring Tommy on the show just to talk about his business a little more. So let's just jump right into that interview.
All right, so welcome, Tommy. We're glad to have you. Why don't you start by letting us know a little bit more about your company, what you do, and how you got started into guitar making.
Okay. Well, what I do for the company, I'm the janitor, the shipping specialist, the guitar builder designer. I passed over the accounting stuff because that's just I can't do that. So, but I mean, we all kind of wear multiple hats here just because, you know, we're a small company, it's a small crew. So everybody pitches in and, you know, helps with guitar building, you know, setups, shipping, whatever has to be done. So just depends on, you know, what's going on that day and how many orders are going out, and, you know, so we kind of all just basically take up the slack wherever it needs to be taken up.
Sounds like us here, right, Derek?
Yeah.
it's a very familiar story.
It's like, hey, this needs to be done this week. Do you want to clean the shop or do you want to get an order out? You know, kind of thing.
Right.
It's always
the thing. Sometimes it gets a little messy around here and we just kind of have to go, hey, everybody stop. Let's clean up.
Sure. You get. I'm just curious before we get to the next question, but you guys like have a, you, like shop music you listen to or anything like that? I was just curious. We don't really do that here necessarily. We're kind of all on our own headphones almost. But
I mean, we have a studio at the office, so you know, usually that's playing something, just kind of for everybody. And yeah,
nice.
So you don't like play metal music to kind of make people work faster or anything like that, do you?
Sometimes it just depends on what kind of mood I'm in, I guess.
Gotcha. Okay.
we listen to everything.
We're already off track from our notes, but that's fine. This is
sorry.
It's fine. It's not your fault. It's ours. We're just we're having fun. So, curious about the name Sublime. Is there any reason that you chose that name, or is there any like interesting stories about why you chose Sublime for the name of the company?
I don't know if it's interesting, but I mean, I guess it is to me. But my brother is one of the founders and owners of Crush Drums and Percussion, and they have a series called the Sublime Series. So when we were working on, you know, guitar development, it just kind of I like the name, and adding guitar company after it just kind of, you know, made sense. But you know, the actual sublime means of such excellence or to inspire admiration or great awe, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, which is kind of bad because we really can't put out anything that's not excellent because of the name, you know, the name that's, you know, name means excellence. But, I think more than that, it's the inspiration part, because when we build guitars, I mean, that's the purpose of what we do, is to inspire people to play. So, cool. That's where it really, you know, that name really hit home with me.
Yeah. So many people, when they look for your company, find the band Sublime? Does that happen all the time?
I'm sure a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I think when we first met at the NAMM show a couple years ago, it was like, I was searching for your website and it was all like Sublime related stuff for the band and not for the
guitar tabs.
Guitar tabs. Right. How to sound like Sublime. And so it's like you had to kind of sort through that a little bit to find.
The other question is, have you ever thought about approaching the band Sublime for a sponsorship?
Not really. I mean, I do like the band, but yeah, they might be like, hey, you took our name.
Right.
Yeah.
You could say you took our name, even though they've probably been around a little longer.
Yeah, they've been around a little longer. So.
Speaking of that, how long have you guys been doing this, or how long have you been doing this, and kind of when was your initial, like, hey, I want to make guitars sort of thing?
Do you want the the long answer or the condensed?
You can answer however you want. That's fine.
Well, okay. For me personally, I started playing when I was early teens, you know, probably 13, 14 years old. And, for me, I was one of those kids that just, you know, my mom used to get so mad at me because she'd buy me a new toy and it'd be in 50 pieces in 10 minutes because I was the kid that wanted to take it apart, see how it worked, you know? So, you know, naturally when, you know, a guy in my church gave me a guitar, the first thing I did was took it home and took it apart. And, you know, luckily I got it back together and it played fine, but, you know, I hated the pickups in it. So that was the first thing. I was like, I'm going to learn how to do this. And, you know, borrowed my grandfather's soldering iron, and with between that and a bunch of electrical tape, actually made the guitar work somehow. I don't know, but, so yeah, I kind of started off, you know, early, and then, you know, my late teens, I got into, the retail side of things. So started working at our local guitar shop here in Tampa. And, you know, we had the typical grumpy luthier repair guy that every store has probably.
Yep.
I'm sure you guys know. But, you know, I used to hang out back with him, and I used to get in trouble with my guitar department manager. He would get so mad at me. Hey, get out there and sell guitars, you know. And I'd be out there hanging out with the, you know, the repair guy. And, you know, he taught me a lot of things. And I always thought, why is this guy so grumpy all the time? I mean, he's got the best, you know, the best job in the world. He's working on guitars all day. You know, and then as I got older and started working on guitars, I realized why he was a little bit grumpy, you know.
Dealing with musicians all day, right?
Yeah, exactly. But that kind of that kind of was cool because he taught me a lot about, you know, guitars and the anatomy of guitars and how a guitar works. And being on the retail side of things, I had to learn, you know, why different, you know, companies use different woods and why a bolt-on sounded different than a set neck and a neck through, and, you know, why you use these kind of pickups in this guitar and not in that guitar, and why these pickups sound the way they do. So it was kind of neat to have to learn all that stuff. And then, you know, with sitting with the luthier guy all day, you know, he taught me so much about guitar repair and the whole building process of it. So, you know, that was late teens. And then we had a job. There was a job opportunity at the store to be able to work in electronic repair. I didn't really know too much about electronics, but, you know, the senior tech there he wanted a young guy to kind of take under his wing, teach him, you know, so I could do store stock stuff. So I took the job and I learned how to solder and, you know, the basic electronic stuff and working on tube amps. And that's when I started modding pedals and, you know, blowing stuff up. You
nice,
know what I mean?
Nice.
Because, you know, that's how you learn. You mess stuff up, you know.
Yeah, but, definitely.
And then, sorry, this is a long answer, but just,
oh, you're good.
Yeah, it's all part of the journey. You know, all that whole time of just doing that, I was in bands and playing out in local clubs and churches and stuff like that. And our band started to gain some recognition. So we started doing some showcasing and stuff like that. And took a couple trips to Nashville, did some showcasing for some labels, created some contacts. And then ended up in a band. You know, me and my brother ended up moving to Nashville a couple of years later. Ended up in a band who, you know, we signed to a little indie deal and put out a record and toured for a couple of years. So that was a really cool part of the whole journey. And, you know, after doing that, we moved home and I got in the studio right away. Mm-hmm. And spent about 15 years as an engineer, mix engineer. So, before we started the company, the guitar company, which is probably around 3.5 years ago, I guess is when we really started it. But, all that stuff was cool for the journey because I feel like it helped me when starting a guitar company, like realize a lot of stuff, you know, that, you know, might be missing in the guitar building world, or just kind of played into it. Like, I got to see the retail side of it. I got to see the live side of it and the touring side of it. I got to see being in the studio and tracking, you know what I'm saying? So it was just a cool, all that stuff, all that journey leading to where I am right now really helped, I think, when it came to the development of the guitars and you know, building the company. So
sure. Well, that's great. I mean, it's good to hear kind of your backstory a little bit on that, because mine's similar in terms of just trying stuff, you know, trying to make sure that you experiment a ton of times. And that's the way that I learn as well, is just kind of breaking stuff and then rebuilding it and doing it that way. So let's talk a little bit just kind of about kind of the setup of your company. You have both USA guitars and then you have import guitars. Kind of maybe talk through the reasons why you have both in your offerings and kind of just like the reasons behind, you know, giving the customer the import versus the USA made choices.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when we started the company, we started development, we spent about a year and a half of development before I even saw a sample or anything. And the idea from the very beginning was to build an affordable guitar for the working musician. And, you know, a lot of times the USA, with the amount of labor that goes into it and the resources, it's difficult to do that. So, you know, we started looking into the import side of things. And my brother's company, Crush, had such a big background in that. And we actually have a partner, Chad, who lives in Taiwan. So he's got a lot of connections overseas, and just kind of made sense for us to look into that. So we had probably six or seven different factories, maybe even more than that, build samples of our prototypes. And, you know, what I was really looking for was something to inspire me, like, as a guitar player. So, you know, we had samples from all these different factories come in, and I played through all of them. And there was a couple factories that just like really stood out. And the guitars actually inspired me to want to pick them up and play. And, you know, it's hard when you make guitars overseas, because you're not there, you know, every day, you know, checking quality control and stuff like that. But we have a very, you know, when it comes in, it goes through, you know, quality control here. We go through everything to make sure that it's top notch before it goes out, you know, even the fretwork. And if it needs a fret level, we do a fret level, you know. But that's part of putting out a good quality guitar at an affordable price, you know, bringing in an import guitar and then doing the quality, you know, making sure the quality control is where it needs to be. And the guitars that we got from the factories that we use, they just had soul in them. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I've played a ton of import. You can go into the, you know, the guitar shops and you play a ton of import guitars and, you know, not knocking it, but it's some of them, it's just a guitar, you know what I'm saying? It like, it didn't inspire me, but that was the biggest thing about using, the factories that we use. So, I think we thought that it was like a slam dunk from the very beginning. Like, oh yeah, we're going to put out an affordable guitar, really affordable guitar at a great price, and it's going to be good quality. But I think it's almost kind of become one of our biggest hurdles, to be honest with you, because people always associate the most expensive as being the best. That's what they need. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah.
And there's a lot of great companies out there that are building unbelievable guitars, and some of those guitars are, you know, $25,000, $3,000, $4,000 guitars, and yeah, that's great. And you know, there's a reason behind it. There's a lot of work that goes into those.
Yeah.
And but you know, I think people, you kind of have to drop that. We're just programmed to believe that. So I think, and you know, at the end of the day, you have to, if you see something, you hear something, you feel something and inspires you, that's what you got to go with. You know, sometimes it could be the $500 guitar or the $800 guitar. Sometimes it's the $4,000 guitar, you know what I mean? Yeah. But, and if it is, then, you know, save up your money and get one, you know, it's great. But honestly, at the end of the day, that's really what we're looking for, is just to be able to inspire a community, to be able to, you know, to put out a guitar, a great quality guitar at an affordable price. So
cool. Okay. Well, that's great. I mean, it's kind of good to hear. I'm sorry, did I cut you off there?
Oh, no, I was just going to touch on the USA side of things definitely. As far as that. With our Modern Relic series that we do here in the USA, it's just difficult because to make a guitar overseas, that's a relic style guitar, is a difficult thing just because they don't use the same finishes like we use nitrous finishes here, and that stuff ages better and just relics better, and it's easier to control the quality. And we have a pretty specific way that we do our relicking, and it's, you know what I mean, so it's just easier to control that here. Although it does cost more, you know, in the long run, it costs more for that guitar. But, you know, we just wanted to control that, you know, that specific series here in the USA. So
definitely. That's awesome. Hey, if you don't mind me asking, going back to the imports really quick, did that original prototype that you sent out, is that one of your models that you ended up keeping?
As far as the, which one?
Like, I was just wondering if the import that you sent out, that you said you got back a prototype of, is that something that's still like one of the models that's on your website today?
Oh yeah, I mean everything that we designed and developed, it's on our website.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean that there's ones that we built here, sent out, you know, and then had CAD files made and all that stuff. That's kind of the whole process.
Okay.
So I feel like that was kind of cool that we were able to do some of that stuff, then send it to the factory, and they were able to take that and you know, make it into what it is now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So yeah.
Very cool. Well, moving on to our next one. What's, who are some of the guys that are using your guitars right now? I know you've got a few artists that are playing your guitars, right?
Artists, let's see, Brandon Bagby from Audio Adrenaline.
Okay.
Let's see, Jeremy Kinn and Joe from Seventh Day Slumber, Patrick Judge from Demon Hunter, Roy from Mute Math, Snoopy Lance from Group One Crew, Nick Baumhart from Fireflight, Jake from House Santa, Cody Preston from JJ Weeks. I'm just trying to off the top of my head.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we have, the cool thing is, we don't have like a huge artist roster, but on top of the guys, the artists that we have, we also have just like local and regional development partners. Like we call them development guys. They're part of the artist roster, but they don't tour quite as much and they don't reach quite as far. But man, they do so much for our company as far as getting the name out there and sending people back to check out guitars. And so we're extremely blessed by the community and the artists that we have. And it's a small, you know, it's a small roster, but man, it's done so much for our company. So we're very grateful for them.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you got some awesome people. I know we were really excited to be working with you on Roy's guitar. Can you tell us a little bit about how that came about, maybe? And
sure.
I know we were excited to be able to make a sweet set of gold foils for him.
Oh yeah, yeah. He uses our Chieftain model, which is we wanted to do a model that's a semi hollow body. It's a little smaller than a 335, but a little bigger than a 339. So, me personally, I've always kind of felt like 335 is a little too big for me. I know it's not for some people, but it was always a little too big for me. But then the 339 really didn't give that semi-hollow body tone as much as I wanted. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
So, we did kind of an in-between size I met Roy through a really good friend of mine in Orlando, and went out to a show that he was doing, not with Mute Math, but he was doing there's a side project that he had at House of Blues. And I took a few guitars out, and I said, hey, man, just take them and, you know, play them and tell me what you think. And he called me back, and, oh, man, the Chieftain. So he was awesome. Just so used to that guitar because he's got, you know, 335s and vintage semi hollow bodies that he uses in the studio all the time. And, you know, he just doesn't want to take those out on the road. And, you know, some of them are vintage, you know, 60s and stuff like that. And he's like, yeah, I just can't take them out anymore. I keep them in my studio, and that's great, you know. So the Chieftain kind of replaces those guitars for him on the road. And, he started using, he told me he started using some in the studio as well, which is great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But the pickups that he's used to, and all those vintage guitars, and a lot of them, you know, they're old microphonic, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of, he gets a lot of feedback, and his sound is a very ambient sound that, you know, he needs that feedback for. So, the stock pickups that we had were, I think we made some like P90s that were humbucker size for him. So when we made the new guitar for him, you know, talked to Brian, said, told him what we needed, and he called me back and he was like, these pickups are amazing. So just kind of nailed it, you know, out of the gate there. So, that was exciting for me. Even when I got the guitar, or when I got the pickups from you guys and installed them, they just sounded ridiculous. So, and it really matched the Mute Math tone very well. So.
Awesome. Yeah. That's so cool to hear. I know there was a bit of buzz around the shop while we were making them, just because we were excited. They looked so great, and we knew they were going to sound pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was kind of a, like, you know, it's always like the recipe is always kind of the, what we get the recipe, and we're like, okay, so we're going to put the ingredients in, and we're pretty confident that, you know, it's going to get in the right direction, you know, as far as the tone that the artist or the customer is looking for. But there's always that little bit of like, okay, they're out the door. Let's see what happens. You know, still that little bit, you know, and I don't know. It's part of the deal, but, it's really cool to kind of hear that. And, you know, even listening to some of like the, Rig Rundown Premier Guitar interviews and kind of hearing them mention the guitars and the pickups and stuff like that. It's kind of cool just to see where things end up and, you know, just know that something that you made is being played all around the world.
Yeah. That's awesome. It's always kind of scary too, and it's funny, every show I go to, everybody knows I worry about everything. I see our artists up there and they're playing the guitars. I mean, some of them had guitars for, you know, 2.5-3 years on the road playing them, and you know, I'm just worried that something's going to happen to that guitar in the middle of the set, and everyone's going to look at me like, yeah, that's your guitar, you know.
It's gonna start on fire burn down the stage, and you're gonna be slipping out the back door, you know.
Wondering. Exactly. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, maybe switching gears a little bit. So you're out playing guitar still, and what kind of is there any gear right now that's really catching your attention? Maybe some non-Sublime gear that you're just really stoked on.
I'm a studio gear junkie, so
nice.
That's where my head is always in studio, is probably more than guitar, but I've got my old, you know, my old faithful stuff that I've had through the years. And, you know, I have an AC30, like an older AC30 that is hand wired, and it's just, to me, it's the ultimate amp. I know it's not for everybody, but, and then I have, you know, an amp that a buddy hand wired for me that kind of built it for me, which was really cool. I'm a Les Paul Tele guy, you know, I've always been from the early days. And so, you know, I have my old faithful guitars that, you know, that are here. I got, my favorite Les Paul's, 57 classic, one of the historic Black Beauties. It's a 2-pickup custom.
Ooh, nice.
That's my favorite Les Paul. And then I have a cool custom shop Telecaster that I got in the 90s. It was like the mid 90s, I think. It's called a Tele Junior, and it's got P90s in it. So I've always been a huge P90 fan. So those are my two. They don't see much, even the studio now, they don't see much action, just because I have so many of the other guitars and I'm always trying different things. But they're the ones that I'll never get rid of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm pretty minimalist when it comes to pedals and stuff. I mean, I have a ton of pedals just from, you know, studio stuff, but you know, my pedal board is a DD20 and then some overdrive pedals and a compressor and then of course a tuner. But
you sound like Brian everybody's... over here.
Yeah.
Brian's a traditionalist.
I got like a couple pedals and I can't go away from like a favorite drive and a tuner obviously, but then it's you know, it's just like once you find something you like, it's really hard to, you know, I like to get in the pedal game sometimes and you're swapping, you're trading. But then you kind of find your favorites and you always seem to come back to that.
Yeah, you always go back, yeah.
It's true. I've been guilty of the it's always greener on the other side. Yeah. It never is, you know.
That's the way it always is. You get a brand new toy and it's the best thing for like a month and then you're like yeah. And then you kind of end up going back to what your comfort zone, you know. Yeah.
When you see listings, you know, it's the best pedal still, right? But the guy doesn't want it anymore and he says
right.
This is the best pedal I've ever played, but I have to sell it because actually I want something different, you know. It's like that's the good thing about going on, you know, on eBay or Reverb or whatever, you know like you find the best pedals out there because that's what the listings say.
Yeah. I used to get offended, you know, when we first started the company and people would buy guitars and then, you know, like a year later I'd see them selling or something. And I'm like, I used to get offended, like, why, you know, why would he do that? You know, but, you know, that's the nature of what we are. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, as guitar players and gear guys, we're always looking for something new and something different to inspire us and you know, I get it, and that's great, and I love it, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
That's a good perspective to have on it, for sure.
It's definitely cheaper to have that perspective.
Yeah.
Nice, man. Well, what's kind of coming up next for Sublime? What's on the horizon? Is there anything you're working on? Maybe a shameless plug you want to put out there, or anything like that?
I think we're working on some stuff with you guys, right? Yeah.
Possibly.
No, but we got some aside from the standard series of guitars that we have some, we call them deluxe series, I guess. So we have a new Chieftain model coming out soon. We have a new Tomcat deluxe model coming out soon. And it's going to have some really cool features to it, and you know, partly I think it's going to have some Porter designed pickups in there too, so that'll be really cool.
Yeah, so do you have kind of, I mean, we probably don't want to leak too much information, but, you know, that we're sitting here towards the end of October. Do you kind of have a rough idea of maybe when people can expect the new guitars to come out, or maybe even some pictures or anything you can tell us? Feel free to, you know, shoot this down, but.
That's cool. I mean, I will have a prototype. Our last prototype samples next week, so you'll start seeing some photos coming through on the social media stuff on our pages, and we're redoing our website right now, so hopefully by the end of this year we'll have some of that stuff on the website where you can actually do some pre-orders and stuff like that.
Cool. But yeah, I was gonna ask about that, like, do you guys typically do like a pre-order type setup, or you just wait till you have a bunch in, like, you know, for the customers that are kind of, I know the Chieftain especially gets a lot of reaction, and people are looking forward to having the opportunity to buy one of those.
Yeah, I mean, it's not typical. I mean, we're always looking for new ways to get stuff out, you know, into the community. So, I mean, for us, it's once we approve the prototype and everything, the sample, and the factory starts building those. We'll probably start taking some pre-orders on them because it really doesn't take the factory that long until we get them. So we'll probably, you know, like you said, we're always looking for different ways to do things, and we've never really done it that way before where we've taken pre-orders on stuff, but you know, it's been such a popular guitar. I mean, I probably get 5 to 10 emails a day asking, hey, when's the Chieftain coming back?
Yeah,
you know,
man.
So yeah. So we're excited to get that out, and, it's going to be a really cool model too. We're really excited about it. So
very cool. Like, I think people are, you know, always itching for new stuff, and you know, what you guys do kind of is keep stepping up the game in terms of, you know, the offerings, and We definitely really like the guitars that we've got from you guys in the shop, and they're great upgrade platforms.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
you know, later in this podcast, we'll talk a little bit about how people can do that. They can upgrade the Sublime guitars with Porter pickups, and it's really, you know, obviously been a very good match
Absolutely.
But we appreciate you coming on, Tommy, and could you let people know where to find more about your business, maybe some of your social media tags or website, things like that?
Yeah, sure. The website's real simple, sublimeguitarco.com. Our Instagram is sublimeguitarco. Facebook is Sublime Guitar Company, I believe. But yeah, you can find us on those, you know, in the social media platforms. And we do a lot of stuff on Instagram. I mean, that's mainly where we post new stuff and just kind of, hey, this is what we're working on right now. So it's a good way for people to keep tabs of what we're doing and the new stuff that's coming up.
Sure. So you would say Instagram is probably a great place for some of those leaks of the new models.
And oh, yeah, absolutely. Like,
okay, great. yeah, so people, make sure you check out Sublime Guitar on Instagram. And then we will we just appreciate having you on. This worked out okay for the first interview, I think, Derek.
Oh, yeah.
Good to have you, Tommy. And just appreciate, again, your kind of build philosophy and kind of the way that you do things. We really enjoy that. And really, awesome. It's kind of refreshing to give people a different option out there. And, you know, for those who are maybe hearing this and just finding out about your company, definitely check them out online. Make sure that you follow them on Instagram, kind of get familiar with what they do. They've got a pretty nice range of models with different colors and options, and really, really good. You know, I would say one of the better. Next week's show, we're actually going to be talking about import guitars and expensive guitars and kind of advantages, disadvantages. And I would definitely put you guys right in there as far as the, you know, more affordable guitars that really are worth buying. So,
cool.
So yeah, we, again, appreciate you coming on and,
yeah, man, glad to be here.
We will look forward to those leaks of the top secret information.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, guys.
So one of the things, speaking of our conversation with Tommy that we're excited about doing is, we've got the option to upgrade some of the Sublime guitars through our website, actually. So we have a builder on there where you can actually add Porter pickups to the Sublime guitar. They'll send us a guitar. We'll put the pickups in, and it will be sent out to you completely loaded with Porter pickups. From time to time, we may have some for sale as well. So there's a lot of cross-company things that we do with Sublime, and so that's kind of one of the reasons we brought Tommy on, just to kind of show that. All right. So also we wanted to mention that we have the podcast extra. A few of our videos that we call Behind the Tone are there. And both of those videos that we'll post feature Sublime guitars, a couple different models. They're a quick video kind of showing the tones of the guitars and what pickups we put in them. So a little bit of a story about the pickups, but they also feature those guitars. So you can get an idea of what the Porters sound like in the Sublime guitars, which is good. And then we will... talk about now, I guess, kind of what's coming up on the next show.
Yeah, absolutely. So next time around, Brian and I are going to be discussing budget guitars versus expensive guitars. What's great about both of them, maybe some disadvantages to both of them. We're going to discuss why you should consider both and also why both of them are great platforms for upgrading with Porter pickups as well. Maybe even talk about a few of our favorites in both categories. But before we go, we have a question from Chris in the UK that came in from our podcast page. And his question is, I have an S90 loaded pick guard, and I was wondering what the differences between the S90s and the Hybrid Plus pickups are. Brian, maybe you can talk about that a
little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thanks for the question again, Chris. And if anyone else has questions, you can submit them through our podcast page. We'd love to kind of include a couple of questions per episode if we can, just as a way to interact with customers and just people that are curious about certain things. Really, between the Hybrid Plus and the S90s, they have a similar wind pattern. The S90s have a smaller gauge wire. They have a different construction. They have two bar magnets and pole pieces. The Hybrid Pluses are, you know, we talked about them last show. They're definitely an overwound pickup. They're a fatter coil. They're a lot stronger than the S90s, actually. We were kind of surprised as we started developing the hybrids. They are stronger than the S90s. So they're going to have a thicker response. They're going to have a fuller low end than the S90s. The S90s are still going to cut through the mix pretty well. They're going to give you a little more bite
And either set would be really good in a bright guitar. That's kind of one of the selling points of both sets. They work pretty well in that. So those are some of the major differences. Again, the hybrids will give you that bigger bottom end. So if you're looking for that, if you're looking for more mids or more low end, you would probably want to go hybrids. But if you're looking for something different sounding, something very, you know, articulate and clear with a little bit of meat, the S90s are great for that too. And the good thing about both of those is they are quite a bit different than a traditional Strat pickup, both the S90s and the hybrids. So you're still going to kind of sound like a Strat when both of them are in your guitar. Two and four positions are going to be really great. And even, you know, if you want to go as far as you can't decide, you could mix and match between S90s and Hybrid Plus. And that's really definitely worth considering.
I think a lot of guys have thrown those S90s in the bridges, and mm-hmm. they've sounded really good.
Yeah, lately a lot of people will put like the 60s in the neck and the middle and then the mm-hmm. S90 in the bridge just to give – I like either the S90 or the hybrid in the bridge just because of that fact that it's a little bit more beef. When you kick down there, you can actually hit some leads and you're not kind of just getting so thin in that position. I mean, that's just – Strat bridges are notorious for that. Yeah. Kind of sound in there, and so when you hit it down, it's like, man, that sounds great. it gives you kind of what you've been looking for in that position. And maybe, you know, and early on, I mean, I was always kind of staying away from a Strat bridge when I first started playing, and that's one of the reasons behind some of these pickup designs is that there's a whole other position down there that that has so much to offer. It just needs some tweaking, you know, in my opinion, in some of the areas.
Absolutely. Well, don't forget to be checking out our podcast page under the community tab at porterpickups.com. Click the Tonecast page for extra content, and there you can also submit any questions you have. So thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. Bye.